Our reading for Wednesday, April 29th, begins in Acts chapter 7 and verse 30. Acts chapter 7, verse 30. Now, when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, and as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. And Moses trembled and did not dare look. Then the Lord said to him, Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, Who made you a ruler and a judge? This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness, and the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with our fathers. He received living oracles to give to us. Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, Make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered a sacrifice to the idol, and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, Did you bring me to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it, according to the pattern that he had seen. Our fathers, in turn, brought it in with Joshua when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels, and did not keep it. Now when they had heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution in the church, against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. So when we read yesterday, we talked about the seven being chosen to serve, but then we got into Stephen, and Stephen being one of those that was chosen, but also being one that would preach to others. And in chapter 7, he has been seized by the council and begins to be questioned, and Stephen begins to answer them. But he doesn't answer them to defend himself directly. He answers them with talking about history. And it begins where they would completely agree. He begins talking about Abraham and working his way forward. Now, when he gets to Moses, he starts to get more pointed. So that's where we started today in verse 30. Moses has fled Egypt, and 40 years later, an angel appears to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. That was verse 30. And so he is told that he has been selected to lead the people. And of course, we've already studied this when we went through the book of Exodus in our adult class. And so there's more detail there. You might go back and remind yourself in the book of Exodus. But here he points out the particulars that pertain to what his goal is in his lesson or his speech toward the council. So he spends a minute with the choosing of Moses, the response of God, of who he is, and that this is holy ground. Take off your sandals. That he has seen the affliction of the people, and that he is going to deliver them, and he's going to send Moses to accomplish that goal. But then verse 35, he says, "This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' This man God sent is both ruler and redeemer." So he's tying this with his contemporaries in that he's telling them it is possible for someone to be completely sent by God and be rejected by even God's people. That's what he's beginning to tie together here. And he points out that even though they did follow him and they did get led out, and that there were many wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years, then what did they do? He receives the oracles, he gives them to God, from God, and gives them to them. Verse 39, "Our fathers refused to obey him, thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying, 'Make for us gods who will go before us.'" Idols, just like they had come out of in that idolatrous land of Egypt, and where they're even going into the idolatrous people that they're supposed to dispossess in order to take the promised land. So Moses was first rejected by them, then accepted, then rejected again despite God backing him up 100%. Besides God being the one to send the word to the people, the laws for them to follow. Verse 41, they made a calf, they offered a sacrifice to the idol, they rejoiced in it. Verse 42, God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the host of heaven. And in quotes, in the book of the prophets, talking about taking up the tent of Moloch, the star of the god Rephan, or Rephan. And these were terrible things. You go and do a little bit of research on Moloch, and you'll be quite shocked at the things that were done in worship to him. By the way, if you care to go back and look, read Amos chapter 5, verses 25 through 27 as well, to see where he's quoting here. So, even though they had Moses leading them, which was really God leading them, they still turned aside. Verse 44, they had the tent of wilderness, I can't seem to talk today, tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he spoke to Moses, directed him to make it according to that pattern. That's the tabernacle that they carried with them. And our fathers in turn brought it in with Joshua. That's talking about when they took the promised land. And Solomon then built the temple for God, the more permanent house. But yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. Verse 48. And then uses scripture to back that up as well. So this is where he gets pointed in verse 51. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." So they're okay with, let's talk about Abraham. And they're okay with talking about taking the promised land. And they're okay with some parts of in between, looking at Moses and revering him in such a way. But the rebellions, they don't want to lay claim to that. But Stephen is saying, you absolutely do lay claim to that because that's your heritage. That's exactly what you're doing. You're doing just as your fathers did. In verse 52, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? It's pretty shocking if you go back and read about what history says were done to some of those prophets. It's pretty gruesome and pretty terrible. It's not just a matter of rejection, and it's not even just a matter of persecution. It's a matter of killing many of them. And, of course, that's what they did with Jesus, and they're about to do with Stephen here as well. And so it says they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. I mean, there's no escaping this. And the point really is that all the evidences have already been given. There's no need for more evidence. There's no need to prove this yet again. It's all been proven. You rejected it then. You're rejecting it now. You murdered Jesus. Now you're ready to murder me too. That's what's going on. So they hear these things. They are enraged. They grind their teeth at him. Because he says, you're rejecting God. That's what he's telling them. You are rejecting God. And so he, full of the Holy Spirit, that is inspired and given this vision, he gazes into heaven, sees the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and says, behold, I see the heavens opened, Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They're so frenzied by this point, they're not willing to listen to anything. They're just in this mad rush. It's a mob. This is a mob now, and it's a murderous mob. They don't have any grounds whatsoever to stone him for blasphemy. That's not why they stone him. They stone him because they can't refute him. They're so upset by what he said because he categorized them as murderers of prophets. That's what he did. So they stopped their ears and they rushed together at him. They cast him out of the city, stoned him. The witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul's not just a keeper of garments. Saul was approving of the situation. He has, you know, some amount of authority here. We're not sure exactly what his authority was. But that's what the language is indicating. And so as they were stoning Stephen, he calls out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what the end is. And then verse 60, falling to his knees, he cries out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's pretty remarkable. I can't imagine being stoned. I really can't. And I would really have a tough time saying, don't hold this sin against them when a mob is murdering me. Most people would say, avenge me. But Stephen said, don't hold this sin against him. Based on that, what is your conclusion about him being a disciple of Christ? Because what did Jesus say when he was on the cross? You know what he said. He said the same thing. Jesus came to save, and Stephen's whole point was not to make them angry. It was not to provoke them. It was to convict them. That's what Stephen was trying to do. That's why he's able to say, don't hold this sin against them, is because his entire desire is the salvation of their soul. And he was willing to die to do that. He was willing to die to do the will of God. And he was completely confident in what his state was before God. And I don't think that confidence is misplaced. He wouldn't have been given the vision into heaven if God was not accepting Stephen. So, chapter 8, Saul approved of his execution. And what does he do? He begins to ravage the church. He begins to persecute them. Now, that serves to propagate the gospel even more. They begin leaving Jerusalem, perhaps going back to some of their homes or just moving into other areas. But when they do that, they begin spreading the word. And so the word begins to spread as the people spread. So as they're scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, they are sharing the word, and we're going to see that as we continue on. But Saul is ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Think about that. Later on, we're going to read about Saul being confronted by Jesus. Why do you persecute me? Why do you kick against the goads? Saul learns that he was going against God himself, and that Jesus was real. He really was the Christ. He really did die and was resurrected, and he really did offer forgiveness. And when he writes to Timothy, he calls himself the chiefest among sinners. This is a heavy load that he had to deal with in terms of guilt. That not only did he approve of the stoning of Stephen, who told him the truth, but he tore up families, put people in prison. And what was Saul's attitude? Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. He's been given the greatest gift ever. He does everything he can to serve God with every ounce of his being and to satisfy his conscience. Yes, he lived in all good conscience. He thought he was doing right. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. It's a lesson for us that we need to examine what our motives are. Certainly don't be run by emotions. Only be ruled by truth, the truth that comes from God. Well, I hope that this reading has benefited you today. Please come back tomorrow for another reading. Please continue in prayer that we may be able to meet again very soon. The elders are going to be discussing this week what our possibilities are in that regard. Would ask you to pray for us in terms of making decisions that will be for the betterment of this congregation, and also that we might make a decision that is according to the will of God. And please continue to pray for each other, that God may be with us all. Thank you.